Welcome to the Deeper Life Bible Study, coming to you from Identity Church in Deltona, Florida. Now let us hear the expounding of the Word of God, a now word for this moment. So grab your Bible, sit back as we delve into the Word of God and hear the Logos and Rhema Word.
Scripture says to honor, give honor to those who are due honor. And so I wanted to start off tonight by honoring Don Wallaba and Charlie Coker. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Don was here and he preached a great word to us, and he also laid hands on people to impart blessings to us, impart anointings. And when he came to me, he started telling me things that only he and God would know, and me. And he called out some things that God had spoken to me 12, 13 years ago. And then Pastor Charlie had a word for me, laid hands on me, had a word for me. And his word fit right in with Pastor Don's. So I don't know if anybody else can see it, but I feel it as a change, as a step up, as an expansion. And so I'm excited. I know that word is relative. I watch the videos of myself when I teach for self-discipline. I see how long I can make myself sit there before I click on the fast forward button. And if I get that accomplished, then I'll hang out and see how long I can last before I fall asleep. So I know it doesn't sound like it, but in my head, I'm really excited. So you guys just enter into that with me, okay? Just know this is exciting. You'd be excited too.
Come on. Come on,
Ray. All right.
Reach.
Yes, sir.
Just stay at the camera.
Huh? Where's the camera? Is it here or there? All right, so after the teachings on Wednesday night, preachings, whatever you want to call it, after live stream is over, we have a question and answer period, which is great. Good questions come out, some really great discussion. And so last week, there were a couple of questions that came up, and I want to respond to those because it really brings some clarity to this whole passage here and also to part of what I was teaching last week. One of the questions was, how do you kingdomize this teaching about Gideon? And last week we were just focused on an overview and the first part, the first verse about God sending Midian to be against Israel. And so how do you kingdomize this kind of teaching? Well, as I thought about that, I think that kingdomizing our messages, what we're really saying is, how can we take this story and apply it to our lives personally now, today, so that the kingdom of God is advanced?
Come on.
So we can understand our identity more as sons of God, sons of the kingdom, and cooperate with God to a greater degree and bring that out. And so as I was thinking about that, all of a sudden I realized this is an Old Testament story. You know, but how does it fit? And all of a sudden, I'm realizing the kingdom of God is always. Did you hear that? The kingdom of God is always. So in the Bible, from Genesis 1:1 until Acts 2:1, where the church starts, that's kingdom. All of that is the kingdom of God. And let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul is pointing this out to the Corinthian church. He says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night was a type of the Holy Spirit, which they experienced. It was real. It was live for them. Walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, that was a type of baptism, complete immersion in which they died to Egypt and they were resurrected to their new identity as the nation of Israel, just like we experience. So they were in the kingdom of God too. And so everything that happened to them can be applied to our lives. Now here's the part we don't like to read or think about, but it's applicable today. Verse 5, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. All right, now he's saying, this is to keep us, present tense, from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Present tense right now. Keep us. Who's he talking to here?
Us.
And who was he talking to originally?
You.
I'm not that old, Charlie. Come on.
Well,
feel like it sometimes.
You're
an eternal
being.
Yeah. Good save. That was a little less offensive. Yeah. So he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. He's saying, this is so you won't set your heart on evil. It's the same old thing that Christians of all ages, Old and New Testament, have had to deal with. God is nice and kind and gracious and merciful, and so I'm going to get away with as much as I can. Yeah, some of these examples, yeah, these things occurred as examples. Keep us from doing that. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. You know what they did to cause God to send the snakes on them, the serpents? They said, we are sick and tired of this loathsome bread. What was the manna a type of? Jesus Christ. Have you ever been there? I'm sick and tired of trying to live like Jesus. Sick and tired of going to church and hear them tell me the scriptures over and over. I'm on something fresh and exciting. Let me see what's on YouTube today. There's always some new doctrines there, something that'll make me excited. Thrill me, tickle my ears, that's right. So we don't want to do that. Verse 11, these things happen to them as examples and are written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can endure it. Therefore, my friends, flee from idolatry. And we talked last week a good bit about what idolatry is. Idolatry is, excuse me, worshiping or believing that you're going to get a certain result from a certain method. If I say this confession, if I say this scripture, if I pay this much of money, I am going to get this result. See, idolatry, the altar of methods, rather than with God, it's a right now thing. And it's a today is different than yesterday. And my answer today for the same problem as yesterday is different. Thank you, honey.
What?
Am I sweating? I must be excited then.
Yeah, I told you he was excited. Oh, he's just glowing. I'm going to give him a Pentecostal towel.
Yeah, there you go. I'm glad people on the internet can hear what's going on out there. So the thing that happened 4,000 years ago can now be applied to the spiritual and sometimes even the natural in each believer's life so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. I once asked the Lord if we should move closer to the church building where I was worship leader. We were going there several times a week. When we first started going to the church, it was about 20 minutes from us, but then they got the opportunity to merge with another church and the pastor to become the pastor over both churches and our own building, which would have been nice. So it ended up being like 45 minutes from our home. So I prayed, I asked the Lord if we should move closer to the church building. Sorry. Lord, help me. So I asked him, is there a scripture that would tell me if I should be closer to the church building? So he said, well, why don't you read Numbers chapter 1, chapter 2? So I started reading it, and it's a description of how the tribes of Israel would encamp around the tabernacle. And the way they did that was they would encamp in like four spokes of a wheel, three tribes deep. My helpmate. Isn't she beautiful? She can sing, all right. She can. So the tribes, the 12 tribes, encamp three deep on four sides, like four spokes of a wheel. But there was 13 tribes, because Manasseh and Ephraim were for Joseph, stood in for Joseph. So there's actually 13 tribes. 13th tribe was the Levites, and the place where they encamped around the tabernacle was in a circle around the tabernacle, closest to the tabernacle. And so as I knew that King David had established the Levites, some of the Levites as worship leaders for the temple, Solomon's temple and the tabernacle. So I'm going, well, as a worship leader, I'm a Levite. I'm like a Levite. So I should be close to the tabernacle, be close to the church building. I'm going, wow, God, you're amazing to include that in your word. See, but you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and he adds all these things to you. So in doing that, we were unable to sell our house, and we were renting a house that was close to the church building. This lady at work that I only knew by name, we'd never talked really at work, she came up to me and she said, "I felt impressed to give you my tithes because I heard you were paying a mortgage payment and a rent payment." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yep, Lord told me to do that." And so for 6 months, this lady from work gave me her tithing check, and it covered our rent for the 6 months that we were paying both. You see, you seek the kingdom of God first. I said, "God, is this your will?" That's part of the kingdom of God, you know, is doing his will on earth as it is in heaven, finding his will. So I got that from a, you know, something that took place 4,000 years ago. See, the keys to the kingdom can be found anywhere and everywhere in God's word through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. You looking for something? You looking for answers on how you can advance the kingdom of God or how it should be advanced in your life? In your situation, ask the Holy Spirit to show you in the Scripture. The Word of God is alive. There's life there. It's not dead. It's not old stuff, history stories and books. It's the Word of God. It's alive. It's waiting for us to draw on it. See, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. And what are we? A kingdom of kings and priests. So it's our glory. God hides it and conceals it. And then as we search, he will give us little hints and little clues. And as we are diligent about pursuing that, we find the answer and we get glory from it. People say, "Wow, you're smart." No, I just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So all of that was to answer that question, how do we kingdomize these stories? All right. Then someone else said, summarize your lesson in three sentences. And I said, well, I'll do it in four words. Reluctant, rebel, revives, region. And they very honestly said, I don't know what that means. You and I are not speaking the same language. So somebody else piped up and started explaining it. And this is what it means. The reluctant part was Gideon was reluctant to answer the call of God on his life. In fact, he asked God for a confirmation 5 times before he finally obeyed. So his reluctance was obvious. He was a rebel in that he had to rebel against family, friends, business associates, elders of his village, religious systems, and the threat of an idol's vengeance, for which there were many testimonies from his family and neighbors. Gideon rebelled as God instructed him to, not by bringing a railing accusation against authority, but instead removing the strength of their belief. And we'll see later how he did that. But that was wisdom from God. But he had to obey in order to do it, for it to be accomplished. God will instruct us on how to disarm our enemies by striking at the root of their belief system, taking away the strength of their belief. Proverbs 21:22 says, "One who is wise can go up against the city of the mighty and pull down the stronghold in which they trust." One who is wise, not one who is mighty, not a muscular warrior with all kinds of artillery, ammunition, but one who is wise. Do you want to be wise? Huh? Yes, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll give you the key. So Gideon brought a revival of Jehovah as Lord to his region within Israel, and then it spread throughout his nation. So the reluctant rebel revived a region. Now, there's a lot of stories in there for us. We'll get into those later when we look at Gideon specifically. But I believe the Lord wants me to kind of settle in on this. We briefly talked about this last week. Verse 2, because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. The name Midian means strife. The definition of strife is contending for supremacy. Contending for supremacy. Because one of us, if we're in strife, it's because one of us wants to be supreme to the other one. Did you guys ever play King of the Mountain when you were kids?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, though, it's fun at first. You know, for those that don't know, you get at least three guys on the bottom on their hands and knees. Get two guys on top. You form a pyramid. And then the king of the mountain is on the top. And so the king has to defend his place. So the other kids come up and they're trying to pull him down and all this stuff. And then you get one kid that's smart. He goes after the guys on the bottom, knocks them down, the whole thing comes tumbling down. That's a great idea. That works great. But not too good for those that want to be king of the mountain, though. What? Yeah, that's right. Shoot him first. And it's fun at first, and then somebody gets hurt, or the guy that wants to be on the top all the time gets mad, and fists start flying, and somebody runs home to mama. But that's the idea of strife, contending for supremacy, always wanting to be up top. And that's what God sent against Israel. See, we always reap what we sow. The Bible even says God operates under that principle too. In Psalm 18, it says, "Whatever way you act towards me is the way I'll act towards you." And so Israel contended for supremacy over God. They said, "We don't have to listen to your word. We don't have to obey this. You'll turn a blind eye in your mercy towards us." I think I'm meant to destroy. It's not broken. I know. Jeez. So contending for supremacy. Since Israel did this towards God, God said, "I'm sending in the Midianites to contend for supremacy over you." Now, God wasn't punishing Israel. He was trying to get their attention. It says in James that he jealously yearns for our total devotion towards him, because he knows that anybody else is going to harm us. Any other God that we trust in, any other strength that we trust in, is eventually going to destroy us and ruin us. So that's why he sent him in. So contending for supremacy. Now what they did was Israel in turn contended for supremacy against the Midianites, not by fighting, but by going into their strongholds. They said, we'll show them. We'll just go hide. How'd that work for you, Israel? 7 years they went through this. What they did is sometimes termed a passive-aggressive behavior. They told the Midianites they were giving them all their harvest, but they weren't really. And so they would go and hide in their strongholds and reap what little bit of harvest they did have left. They weren't fighting directly against Midian, but they were, in their minds, gaining supremacy over Midian. So the passive-aggressive behavior. How does that work in the kingdom? Well, sometimes we get evaluated on the work of our hands, whatever that is. And the evaluation offends us. And we begin to think, I'm as spiritually mature as they are. So we contend for supremacy by not doing the work anymore and saying, well, God told me to sit down. Well, maybe God did say that. And maybe I am being passive-aggressive, a work of the flesh. See, Christ in us would say, thank you for pointing that out to me. I want to be the best that I can be for Christ and his kingdom. So I really appreciate that. And can you help me? Can you help me overcome this thing that you've evaluated me on? I mean, and sincerely say that. Sincerely. See, so then nobody's contending for supremacy anymore, right? How can you contend for supremacy over humility? I mean, you humble yourself and you go to the bottom. Oh, what kind of fight is left? The other person is supreme now. Now, this story of Gideon, we usually think of as just him overcoming the Midianites with their torches and their pots and their trumpets, but that's not what this story is all about. And we'll see how that ties in later and how the ultimate freedom from contending for supremacy is brought about. Now, God sent Midian to contend for supremacy over Israel, to make them, hopefully make them cry out to God, because they had become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin and no longer thought it was wrong to disregard God's word. Now they cried out to God, but they were crying out, they were praying to Santa Claus for relief from their oppressors, not forgiveness of their sins. Now God responded in mercy to their cries and sent a prophet, an inspired speaker, to tell them that relief from oppression would come when they repented of sinning against God. I believe we'll end there. There's more, but I think it would go too long if we got into that now.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages. read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning in to today's message from Identity Church.